This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne, and thanks for tuning in. When it comes to Apple, it's known as a leadership in the tech industry and a powerhouse on the stock market. But how did it get there, and where is Apple headed? Joining me to talk about Apple is Simon Bryant, the Associate Director at Future Source Company. Thanks for joining me, Simon.
My pleasure.
Could you tell me just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I've been with FutureSource now for approaching 20 years. I'm Associate Director of the Consumer Electronics team here, and we produce a lot of forecasts, a lot of insights, and support the consumer electronics and media industries.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and today I wanted to talk about Apple, and I wanted to know a little bit about Apple's past.
Sure. So, I mean, it's been an incredible story. Obviously, they've passed now their 40th year in business. Last year, that was. Things just really took off, really at the start of the millennium, and I think, you know, iPod was just a huge success. I think, they've always been great with product design, great with software, but I think when iPod launched, it came at a good time in the sense of devices were becoming connected, digital distribution of content was just starting, and Apple really helped start that trend. They really defined the personal audio market, where the likes of Sony and a lot of Japanese brands were very strong. Apple came out with a personal jukebox in your pocket that you could download music from iTunes, and they really just redefined the personal audio experience for consumers and really rode a wave. And you know, that led on to the mobile market, which has just been an unbelievable success story, and many other markets as well. They've done better in PC as a result of their success in mobile and iPod. And you know, they've done well in tablets, even though that market hasn't done particularly well, and they've done well in wearables, even though that market hasn't done particularly well. So, they've really sort of ridden a wave around digital distribution of content, digital devices, connected devices, have become one of the most valuable companies in the world.
You know, you've said they've ridden a wave. How are they still a leader after all these years? It's been 40 years, and they're still being so innovative.
I think their position was always quite unique, even in the PC industry, whereas the model that ultimately won in the PC industry was separating the hardware and the software, and they stuck true to their business principles, which was that perfect experience. You need to be focused on both the hardware and the software, and I think perhaps that's just come into its own in the connected world that we live in now, that it isn't just about hardware, it's about the software and the usability of those devices. And, you know, in any category that they operate in, the usability of their devices still really stands out. They completely dominate the higher price tiers of every category they're in, whether you look at PCs, whether you look at tablets, whether you look at wearables, any category that they operate in, they have a huge average price. And that's because I think it's not just the hardware looking so beautiful and the great marketing, but it is about the usability. I think the usability of their devices really stands out compared to competing devices. And like I say, you know, it's a well-managed company. Their supply chain management is second to none. But I think it is the fact that they know how devices and software really works together well. They're a very well-run company. But I think fundamentally that key business principle has really made it, has been a real key to the success today.
I hate to say it, but I'm a PC person. I love being able to customize my PC. So, you know, I'll buy a really good high-end motherboard and, you know, maybe I'll just upgrade my processor or I'll add more RAM into it. And that's one of the reasons why I've never bought a Mac. But, you know, in the future, do you see them being able to allow consumers to do that?
I think from where Apple are now, you know, they're focusing on really what's going to bring them the next tens of billions of dollars, because they've flatlined as a company now, and just in terms of the markets they're in, aren't growing anymore. And they're still earning $200 billion a year. And I think their focus is on what's going to keep shareholders happy, and shareholders won't be happy by staying where they are at $200 billion approximately. It'll be about, you know, how do you add the next $10 billion every single year? And in that sense, I think, you know, looking at the PC market is probably not going to satisfy that need to keep growing or that the levels that are expected in terms of growth. I think they're going to be looking at really very different markets. I think they'll get some more growth potentially from PC, maybe some from the mobile industry in terms of maybe accessories, maybe audio through their Beats acquisition. I think there are maybe digital entertainment they could be looking to get more growth from, but I think really they're probably going to be focused at that more company-wide corporate strategic level on other big growth revenue drivers, whether that's smart home, whether that's smart city, whether that's automotive, which is talked about quite a lot. That's kind of where I see them focusing. In the PC market, they still are growing in terms of their market share, is my understanding, and they do well in certain verticals. I think they're struggling in certain, like education, but they've done well because of the halo effect that's been created around iPod and the phone, and I think that's where they've grown a bit of share. I'm not aware that they would be fundamentally sort of changing their business model in that space. But I'm less close to the PC market than some of the other areas.
Speaking of the way they do business, back in the day when they had iPod come out, I mean, almost every 6 to 8 mm-hmm. months, there was a new iPod, whether it was a color or just a brand new upgrade or just a different design. And it seems like now it's kind of stagnant. Why is that?
It doesn't really need it. As in, then the market was really driven by the fact that people wanted more content. They wanted bigger hard drives. The first device that came out, and I mentioned those, iPod was all about around good timing and Apple realizing an opportunity that you could get a portable hard disk in your pocket that I think it was 5 gigabytes that could store that magic number of 1,000 songs. And, that was a real sort of technical innovation at the time. But they sort of took advantage of that. But the key point is that actually people wanted more capacity than that. So just as prices fell for hard disk capacity, people wanted to download more songs. There was that need to keep refreshing the range. People wanted better portability, so the first product was large, but it got smaller and smaller, and they replaced hard disks with flash media. There was this constant need for more capacity, more portable devices, and of course lower prices. Some people went for the more expensive products, but a lot of people wanted something a bit cheaper. So I think there was just that need for it then. I think then you just had people had enough capacity, for most people anyway, they had enough capacity. And there just wasn't any. And then, of course, mobile phones or smartphones came along. They completely replaced that market. So MP3 players, portable music players, is all but disappeared as a category now, and people are now using their mobile phones for listening to their music. It's just taken the pressure off innovation in that category, and it's really all focused on the mobile phone, and that's where people listen to their music, play their videos. So that category has really slowed, and as a result, the innovation that we see in that category has slowed as well.
Back in the late 90s, probably early 2000s, they only really had like the laptops, they had their Macs, they had the iPods, and iTunes was kind of blowing up then too. But now you see them doing wearables, you see them going into cars. Do you think they're spreading themselves out a little thin?
I don't think so. I think they've got the resources to do it. At the end of the day, they have really just a number of product SKUs, product ranges, actually much less than many other electronics companies. And ultimately, they've got a few flagships, a flagship in their mobile range. They've got their PC range. It's a relatively simple product portfolio they've got compared to some other CE vendors who you could say are spread even more thinly. So, with Apple, it's just about one generator of growth followed by another generator of growth. And initially it was PCs, then it was iPod, then it was mobile devices, including tablets. And now it's a case of what next? And I think... they absolutely need to go into other categories, but it is about prioritizing and figuring out what's gonna take advantage of their competencies, which is brand, which is their retail distribution, which is their technical capabilities in software and digital devices, supply chain management. What's gonna take advantage of that, and what's gonna keep them growing? And I think that's not necessarily easy, but I think. There's so many industries that are changing so dramatically at the moment because of digital, because of so much that's going on in connectivity, that there is opportunities. And we think that automotive, they will be playing some part in automotive, because that is one of those industries that, for a company that's worth 200, 200 billion. There aren't many industries that can keep a company like that growing year on year. But automotive is a huge industry where they play virtually no part in it. So, yeah, we think they have to keep moving forward. Customers want them to keep moving forward because they want the Apple experience, especially the diehard Apple customers, of which there are millions and millions around the world. So they won't just want Apple on their mobile device. They'll want them in their car. They'll want them when they walk around their home. They won't want to be talking necessarily to Amazon Alexa in their home. They want to be talking to Apple. And the same could be said for their car environment. So I think for many reasons, they have to keep moving forward and they have to keep pioneering or developing new categories.
You know, you're absolutely right. They are the pioneers, I think, of when it comes to software, especially, you know, they do touchscreen, voice activation, fingerprint scanners. I mean, they're one of the first ones that have done this kind of thing. And, you know, to me, we're halfway living in Star Trek because of them, you know. But one of the things that I really would like to see, and I'm wondering if you know if Apple's going to do this, is universal language translator, something like that, because I think that would be so cool.
Yeah, I mean, so essentially a sort of, like a language translator like you would get on Google Translate, you mean, but essentially on a mobile device or a wearable device or something like that. Well, you know, I mean, I think it's a case of that all of this will come very, very quickly. You know, voice is playing a huge part. Microphones are going to be integrated into everything. Once you have the connectivity and the processing in devices, then, you know, it's a matter of time before it happens. But, you know, Apple are pioneers. They do redefine segments. You could say that the likes of Google are already ahead of them in certain aspects of translation. But you know, Apple will come out with something novel, something exciting. You could even say what's been happening with voice has been a huge innovation, and it's come from an audio category, as in speakers, where Amazon Echo is so strong. And that's a category where Amazon had no presence. They weren't in audio at all. Apple, meanwhile, have nearly a quarter of the audio industry in terms of via the Beats acquisition. Yet Apple didn't come with a voice product. Neither did any of the rest of the audio industry. It was Amazon that came and sort of redefined that category. And that category, audio, is doing very, very well because of Amazon's innovation. Arguably, Apple should have done that. But, you know, Amazon is a different company to Apple. Amazon have different motivations, have different business models to Apple. Apple were late to that game, but you know, maybe they'll come out with something bigger and better later this year.
Yeah, when it comes to Apple, I've noticed that, you know, while other companies, it seems very exclusive, where it's kind of costly to jump into it. But Apple, it's almost like it's price conscious for people so that they can jump into it and be part of the inner circle too, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they always enter a space where, you know, they start with a sort of premium experience. It's all about the experience. They create, people refer to now as the sort of halo effect, and then they eventually introduce products that make it available more to the masses without trying to cannibalize their existing business, so that people don't say, oh, well, I don't need to buy the more expensive product, I'll just go for the cheaper product. So they very, very, very cleverly introduce new products to the market, but fundamentally they do try and make it available to as many people as possible without affecting their overall average price. And they've done that with audio, they've done it with phone, and they've done it with tablet, and they've done it with PC as well. So they're definitely one of the more effective companies at managing their product rollout and their product portfolio and driving volumes while not affecting their average prices.
For people who are listening, where can they find you at?
So, yeah, Future Source Consulting. We're based in the UK. You can find us on our website as well, futuresourceconsulting.com. By all means, get in touch.
Well, thanks for joining me, Simon. I really appreciate you being here.
My pleasure.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's masonverapaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.